Amba Jambavati Sutta, the son of Jambavati. Translation: Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Jambavati's son Samba, ever victorious in battle, kidnapped Duryodhana's daughter Lakshmana from her Swayamvara ceremony. Purport in Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains this event as follows. Duryodhana, the son of Dhritarashtra, had a marriageable daughter by the name of Lakshmana. She was a very highly qualified girl of the Kuru dynasty, and many princes want to marry her. In such cases, the Swayamvara ceremony is held so that the girl may select her husband according to her own choice. In Lakshmana's Swayamvara assembly, when the girl was to select her husband, Samba appeared. He was the son of Krishna by Jambavati, one of the chief wives of Lord Krishna. This son, Samba, is so named because, being a very bad child, he always lived close to his mother. The name Samba indicates that this son was very much his mother's pet. Amba means mother and Sa means with. So this special name was given to him because he was he always remained with his mother. He was also known as Jambavati Sutta for the same reason. As previously explained, all the sons of Krishna were as qualified as their great father, Lord Krishna. Samba wanted the daughter of Duryodhana, Lakshmana, although she was not inclined to have him. Therefore, Samba kidnapped Lakshmana by force in the Swayamvara ceremony. The angry Kuru said, this ill-behaved boy has offended us, forcibly kidnapping our unmarried daughter against her will. Arrest this ill-behaved Samba. What will the Vrishnis do? By our grace, they are ruling land that we have granted them. If the Vrishnis come here, when they learn that their son has been captured, we will break their pride. Thus, they'll become subdued, like the bodily senses brought under strict control. After saying this and having their plans sanctioned by the senior members of the Kuru dynasty, Karna, Shala, Bhuri, Yajnaketu, and Suyodhana set out to attack Samba. Purport: so the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the elder of the Kurus mentioned here is Bhishma, who gave permission to the younger men as follows. Since this maiden has now been touched by Samba, she cannot take any other husband. He must become her husband. Nonetheless, you should arrest him and tie him up to make a statement about his impropriety and our own prowess. But in no case should he be killed. The Acharya also adds that Bhishma accompanied the five warriors mentioned in this verse. Seeing Duryodhana and his companions rushing towards him, Samba, the great chariot fighter, took up his splendid bow and stood alone like a lion. Determined to capture him, the angry bowmen, led by Karna, shouted at Samba, "Stand and fight, stand and fight." They came straight for him and showered him with arrows. O best of the Kurus, as Krishna's son Samba was being unjustly harassed by the Kurus, that darling of the Yadu dynasty did not tolerate their attack any more than a lion would tolerate an attack by puny animals. Purport: commenting on the word Chintarba, Srila Prabhupada writes, in Krishna, Samba, the glorious son of the Yadu dynasty, was endowed with inconceivable potencies as the son of Lord Krishna. Twanging his wonderful bow, heroic Samba struck with arrows the six warriors headed by Karna. He pierced the six chariots with as many arrows, and each team of four horses with four arrows, and each chariot driver with a single arrow. And he similarly struck the great bowmen who commanded the chariots. The enemy warriors congratulated Samba for this display of prowess. Purport: Srila Prabhupada comments, while Samba was so diligently fighting along with these six great warriors, they all appreciated the inconceivable potency of the boy. Even in the midst of the fighting, they admitted frankly that this boy Samba was wonderful. But they forced him down from his chariot, and thereupon four of them struck his four horses, and one of them struck down his chariot driver, and another broke his bow. Having deprived Sambha of his chariot during the fight, the Kuru warriors tied him up with great difficulty and then returned victorious to their city, taking the young boy and their princes. So, this begins another story. This part, not directly about Krishna, but about his son, Sambha. So, as mentioned here, Sambha was the son of Jambavati and one of the principal queens, and was so called because Sambha means with the mother. So he was always with his mother as a child. He was the pet child of his mother. And later on it's described how he had great powers. So though he was the son of Krishna, as described later when it describes the dynasty of Krishna, it describes that his offspring, his children, had qualities like himself. So we see that, of course, in the case of Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they were very much resembling Krishna. And, of course, they were actually expansions of the Supreme Lord himself. So the other children also had great powers. And therefore, one would not expect them to get defeated even in battle. However, we see here that Sambha got captured finally. Of course, it was an unfair fight. It was not one to one person, but a whole group of them came and captured him. So he was eventually captured. And as I said, not to be expected, since he was actually specially empowered by the Supreme Lord. However, we see that in some cases things like this happen for pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Certain arrangements are made, such as the Pandavas losing their kingdom. They're direct Nitya Siddhas and associates of the Lord. Why would the Lord not protect them in all cases? Yeah, they suffered for 13 years, etc. So many things are arranged for the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So this is one particular incident where Sambha is, let's say, defeated or captured or whatever. And this is an arrangement of the Lord for certain pastimes. So in this incident, we see that Sambha kidnapped Lakshmana at the Swayamvar ceremony. So technically, of course, the Swayamvar is there and all the eligible people show themselves. And then the daughter of the king is allowed to choose. But sometimes, or maybe often, there's a test. And the winner will get the bride. And we see that in the case of Krishna with his queens. There was often a test, like the bulls. Someone had to tame the seven bulls. And then Krishna was the only one that could do that. So sometimes there's great tests involved. But other times, we find that Krishna may, as he did with Rukmini, he simply stole her away. So Krishna himself does this, and we see here that Sambha also does this with Lakshmana. Difference, of course, is that Rukmini was writing letters to Krishna and said, "I want only you," and of course she's the eternal consort of Krishna anyway. But here, Lakshmana was rather unwilling, but nevertheless he forcibly took her away. So this is also one, say, custom in ancient marriages, or we say Vedic marriages. They had different types of marriages, and this was one of them, where the man simply grabs the woman and takes her away, which is nowadays is not considered so good, not legal at all.
as one of many forms. Of course, there's the love marriage, and then there is the arranged marriage, and then there's this type of marriage here, where the man simply takes the woman away. And this we'll see often in the case of Kshatriyas. It happens in the case of Kshatriyas. So they had a set of rules or customs or whatever for different things like marriage, etc., which are quite different from our present rules, and are also quite different from the Vaishnava set of rules. So, nevertheless, these were the customs at this time. And we see this not only in Bhagavatam, but in Mahabharata and many other Puranas as well. The customs are quite different from the customs of the Vaishnavas as we have in the present time. So, this is one instance here, the type of marriage they have. Yet, this was also acceptable. But then again, there are consequences. So the consequence here is that you have to fight with everyone. Because the family will protest. And we see that in the case of Krishna also. When he was taken, then all these envious kings ran after him and started fighting with him. But he defeated them all. So it also, let's say, tests the valor of the groom, if he is strong enough to defend himself. In this case, Samba was captured. He was defeated and captured, unlike Krishna, who was not defeated. So, somewhat of a dishonor. But at the same time, we see that it was unfairly done, because it was many against one person, so it wasn't a fair challenge at all. And nevertheless, this happened. So they didn't follow the rules properly. So in this case, he was captured. And this creates this leads to a problem. Because the Yadus are obligated to rescue him at this point. And the Kurus we see here are insulting the Yadus and say that we can defeat them. They are actually unlawfully ruling. And if they attack us, then we will defeat them very easily. So we see here the conflict between the two groups and is already there with this incident. And Bhishma was also involved in this. even though he's a great devotee of the Lord. He permitted this to happen also. But he said, of course, you cannot kill him. So they could capture him, but not kill him. So, Bhishma also is implicated in this event of, we could say, offending the son of the Supreme Lord somehow or other. And again, we can only attribute this to pastime of the Supreme Lord. That normally, he is very intelligent and wise, and is also a devotee. So, therefore, he avoids offense to the Supreme Lord like anything. So this agreement to capture Samba is an arrangement for our pastimes of the Supreme Lord. We cannot blame Bhishma at all. So the incident is another remarkable feature here is that Lakshmana was the daughter of Duryodhana, who was the big enemy. And in the Mahabharata, he's actually called the personification of Kali Yuga. So he was a very evil person. So why would Samba want to take the daughter of such an evil person? So it looks a little bit contradictory again. But nevertheless, this happened. And it's understandable that Duryodhana would protest because, of course, he was a great demon and he was also opposed to Dharma and Krishna and anybody related to Krishna and the Yadus, etc. So naturally. that portion of the Kurus would definitely oppose this type of marriage where Samba kidnapped his own daughter. So naturally he would protest. So this is an instance where the we can see the conflict between the two parties is manifested. Another reason for the hatred between the two groups on the part of Duryodhana, at least. So up until now, these stories are concerning incidents long before the Kurukshetra War. We'll see later on the description of how everyone gathered at Kurukshetra for the eclipse, including the people from Vrindavan. And there we see all the Kurus are there, and they're not, you know, they're still peaceful. They're not fighting at that point. So there are many incidences where the Kurus and the Arus were more or less tolerating each other for some time before the Kurukshetra War. So this is another instance where they were still tolerating each other. Nevertheless, we find there are incidences like that which aggravate the situation and cause friction. Unfortunately, because Duryodhana was very demonic in nature, in spite of being in a great family, say a well-known and a famous Vamsa, still, he was actually very demonic. So therefore this contaminated that Kuru dynasty, and that contamination spread to all sorts of people who would otherwise not be so inimical to Krishna and his relatives. So because of Duryodhana, therefore, we'll find the conflict becomes very, very strong. So on the other hand, we find that Samba was very brave to do this, because Duryodhana was a famous warrior, and he also knew that if he kidnapped his daughter, then obviously there would be a big fight. So naturally that took place, but he was quite brave in doing this. At the same time, we can say a little rash. So as Prabhupada explains in the purport, he was a bad child. Not bad in the evil sense of the term, but he was quite uncontrollable, probably. No one could really control him. Only his mother could control him as a child. So a little bit unruly and not willing to follow orders properly and like that. So it's a little uncontrollable person. So therefore, it seems likely that he would get into a situation like this where he would involve the whole Kuru dynasty and the Yadu dynasty in a big quarrel, even though he didn't know the implications of it. So, and therefore it was rather likely he would do something like this as well, challenge the most powerful person in the Kuru dynasty, Duryodhana, by stealing his daughter. So then naturally conflict would take place between the two groups, and therefore we find here how the Kurus are insulting the Yadus and say they don't even deserve to have a kingdom or whatever, and we can definitely defeat them if they come. So they capture Samba ultimately after a big struggle. But it's also described here that while he was fighting, then they actually praised him. They admired his skill in shooting arrows and combating them in many ways, but finally he was defeated and they captured him. So in this way this capture of Samba then leads to the interference by the Yadus.
When this same summer, the different things happening, but now as you can see this, but previously, and also now when bride and groom get married, there are so many things they see, like Rashi, Nakshatra, and the check. But previously, you will see like this thing. It was something that Rashi thought was matching.
Oh, at that time?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It may have been, but there's different types of marriages also. So the one which was arranged, that was considered a preferable one. So in that case, then we go through those preliminaries. But obviously here, they're not going to do that. It was kidnapping or love marriage. They don't look at those things. Yeah? So whether it's arranged marriage or very carefully things are done, then you would have the consultation with horoscopes, etc. And seeing compatibility, etc.
In the case of this,
Well, of course, as I said, this is very common among Kshatriyas. It's not the only case. Krishna did this also. So, see, many of the in the Mahabharata, you'll find many stories like that as well. So it's not a very uncommon thing, though nowadays, you know, it's considered to be illegal or whatever. So, but it was quite common among the Kshatriyas especially.
So now, how do I accept this?
Well, as I said, there's different types of marriages. One is the love marriage, in which obviously they choose. Another is the arranged marriage. They also don't choose. And then we have the kidnapping one. They also don't choose, obviously, because they're forcibly taken away. So the one where there's actual agreement is the Gandharva marriage. That's the romantic marriage, love marriage. Yeah, yeah. But the other ones are all, it's not that they disagree, but actually they, it's like the arranged marriage, it's not that they agree ahead of time, it's all arranged, so.
But when, there's an arranged marriage, love marriage, how this marriage will continue for a long time? Because there's against, some nature is something against us. This,
which one? Well, it depends. In the case of Krishna, then he kidnapped Rukmini, but in that case, they did like each other. In this case, it looks like it didn't, but we don't know the details. At least this is what the Kurus are saying. We don't know the whole story, but this is what the Kurus are saying, that she's been forcibly taken away or whatever like that. So that's because the Kurus are saying this, I think. But whether maybe she didn't object at all.
People will see Ramaswami before they get married. Is that necessary? If the Ramaswami doesn't suit the party,
well, the horoscope is one method of estimating the compatibility of the two. So obviously, if according to horoscopes they don't match, then this is indication of incompatibility, and not the only thing, but among other things. So if they're incompatible, then generally the marriage is not going to be a happy marriage, that's all. Which may end in modern, what we call divorce, or separation.
So does it work for divorce also?
To some degree.
They are smiling.
Yeah.
The parents make it clear, but they are not equal.
Yeah.
To suit the check the best fit, husband and they can choose.
Yeah.
That was arranged with
you. Yeah. So that's this one type where she chooses. Another is arranged or whatever like that. But even in choosing, it's a little difficult because you just line up all the people and choose one. Well, that's a little bit risky also, isn't it? Unless they had some background knowledge or something like that ahead of time. In the case of Rukmini, of course, she knew about Krishna because of so many reports, etc. So she knew the history. But even the Swayamvar is a little bit risky because it's based upon simply looking at a person and choosing the best one on which way, character, how do you know the character if you just look at the person? Difficult. Whatever, yeah. So many people may do that even in ancient times. If they're not intelligent, they will choose the wealthy one or the handsome one or the brave one. But it may, those are not the only, you know, qualifications for a compatible marriage, but many people will look at that. And particularly, this is the Kshatriya thing, the Swayamvara thing, where it was generally royalty with royalty as well. So it was, but not that she could choose anybody. She's only got a limited choice among, you know, a certain group of persons. So maybe that also guaranteed some sort of compatibility because they were Kshatriya in nature.